Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and the upcoming first ever Loudwire Music Awards is here, and today we're going to be talking all about it on Tuesday, October 24th at the Novo in downtown Los Angeles. I'll be hosting the ceremony. You can watch it live at Access TV starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time, or stream it live at WWE.com, my WWE Facebook page, WWE Jericho, which I never use. Go to Chris Jericho on Facebook if you want to follow me. You can also view the Loudwire Awards on The Miz's Facebook page at The Miz WWE. And today, Talk is Jericho. I got my longtime friend, executive producer of the show, Josh Bernstein. He's the guy who created and produced the Golden Gods Awards for 4 years that I hosted back in 2011, 2015, 14, whatever it was. And now he's doing it for Loudwire. So you're going to hear what it took to put this show together. Some of the huge metal and hard rock artists taking part Tuesday night. Plus, Josh and I have tons of stories from our days doing the Golden Gods Awards, writing it, coming up with bits and guests, putting up fires. I hosted that one 4 years in a row. We've got great stories about Metallica, Dave Grohl, Joe Perry, Marilyn Manson, Johnny Depp, Steel Panther, Slash, Lemmy. So many great stories. So much good stuff. So we were reunited, Josh Bernstein and Chris Jericho. We're bringing the madness to Loudwire on Tuesday night again. Also right here to talk is Jericho. I mentioned Slash. I mentioned Duff McKagan. And guess what? You know what it means? It's time for the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week.
This is from Sue, my blonde wife. Three blondes walk into a bar. You would have thought one of them would have seen it. Thank you.
Ah, that's a good one. Duff getting some bad joke assistance from his wife, Susan. Terrible jokes running the McKagan family and in the Jericho family. That's why we became such good friends. But there's one thing I can promise. No bad jokes if you come see Fozzy. When the Judas Rising tour hits Europe next week, we start October 27th in Birmingham at the O2 Academy 2. That show is about to sell out. Get your tickets now. Dublin on the 28th. Belfast on the 29th. That one's going to sell out. Chester on Halloween. That one's going to sell out. Manchester on the 1st, London on the 2nd, that's going to sell out. Sheffield on the 3rd, Glasgow, that one already is sold out. Newcastle on the 5th, then we head over to the mainland. Amsterdam on the 7th, we make our debut in Amsterdam. Aschaffenburg in Germany on the 8th, Pratteln, Switzerland on the 9th, Trezzo, Italy on the 10th, Roncade on the 11th, Rome on the 12th, then it's Vienna on the 14th, Munich on the 15th, Essen on the 16th, Hamburg on the 17th, that one's going to sell out. 18th in Genk, Belgium. And remember, you can get all your ticket information at FozzyRock.com and check out the Fozzy VIP as well, the meet and greets. You get the best meet and greet in the business today as we play a mini concert for you, and you get to sign and all the other great stuff that, yeah, that take pictures with us, hang out. Go to FozzyRock.com, check out all the information on tickets and Fozzy VIP packages. And the new record, Judas, is out now. And this is Painless right here on Talk is Jericho.
Consumed in your embrace, there's no way.
That's the new tune from Fozzy. It's on the Judas album, out now. Number one in 8 countries. Number one on Spotify. Get it wherever you get your music. iTunes, Amazon, Best Buy, FYE, all the usual places. Check it out on Spotify. Do what you got to do. All right, Josh Bernstein standing by to talk about the Loudwire Awards and how to put together a heavy metal awards show. Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this: rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
Talk is Jericho.
Before we get into the Loudwire Awards with Josh Bernstein, I want to just make a quick mention about the passing of Gord Downey from the Tragically Hip. If you're not from Canada, you might not realize just how huge of an impact that is. It would be like if Mick Jagger passed away in the Stones when he was 53 years old. That's 20 years of not being able to play those songs that we all grew up with in Canada. 20 years of not providing those smiles and those good moments in life. Gord was one of the best, if not the best, frontman and lyricist in Canadian history. And for whatever reason, the Hip never translated to the States. But in Canada, they are gods. We're talking stadium-level performers. Gord was diagnosed with brain cancer about a year and a half ago. And last summer, they did a full tour, a farewell tour, while Gord had brain cancer. That's a true rocker, man. What a warrior. It was something that I hoped would never happen, something that I hoped would disappear, but unfortunately that brain cancer did not disappear, and Gord passed away on Tuesday morning surrounded by his family. Once again, if you've never heard Tragically Hip, go check out Ahead by a Century, Grace 2, Looking for a Place to Happen, Little Bones, Blow at High Dough, New Orleans is Sinking, 38 Years Old, Never Kissed a Girl, Boots and Hearts, Three Pistols. I mean, there's so many great songs. Think Tom Petty crossed with R.E.M., crossed with Springsteen, crossed with the Stones. They were Canada's rock and roll band, and they're going to be missed, man. And Gord Downey, what a performer. Go on YouTube and check him out. I wouldn't be giving him such a huge push if I didn't really believe that. So God bless you, Gord, and I don't know what's going to happen with the Tragically Hip, but definitely Canada's greatest rock and roll band, not including Rush. Rush is even more of a prog rock band, but just for pure four-on-the-floor rock and roll, there's none better than the Tragically Hip. So go check them out if you haven't, and get ready to check out right now Josh Bernstein and the Loudwire Awards special starting now. All right, so here with, I don't know, how long have we known each other? Josh Bernstein, 10 years?
We actually met, you probably don't remember this, but we met almost 20 years ago.
What? Where?
My first job, I worked at a teen magazine.
A teen magazine.
And out of college, and I convinced them that wrestling was the hot new thing. And they said, what's the article about? I said, I don't know, it's just hot. And they said, find an angle. I said, there's a Jewish wrestler named Goldberg. and they said, all right, go interview him. And I went to a house show in Nassau Coliseum. And they made me wait backstage for 2 hours and just watched all you guys come in the room. And I saw you and Eddie Guerrero fight the Four Horsemen in a tag team match.
Wow.
Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko.
Really?
And I met you backstage and I interviewed Goldberg. And the entire time I interviewed Goldberg, Scott Steiner stood in the other room and just, I don't know what that thing is called, where you stretch.
Oh, like the rubber band sort of thing?
He stared at me for the entire time and I'm pretty sure I crapped my pants.
But that's the thing. You've always been very wrestling friendly and also very much involved in the music business, which is where I knew you from.
Yes.
As being kind of the guy who was behind the Golden Gods Awards.
Yep.
And now obviously the Loudwire Awards. And that's kind of how we became friends.
Yes.
Was you asked me to...
Yeah, so I... it's funny. Most of my wrestling stories all tie into music. Like, I think, like, I literally probably got into wrestling because of Cyndi Lauper and, like, you know, was a Cyndi Lauper fan, and that brought me in the first time. And I had unrelated interviewed for a job at WWE, turned it down, and my Revolver magazine where I used to work at the time said, we can't offer you the money that WWE is offering you, but if you stay, we'll let you do that award show idea you have. And that's how we created the Golden God Awards. And a couple weeks later, I went to go see AC/DC at Madison Square Garden, and the row behind me was empty the whole time. And we're on the third song. All of a sudden, a security guard walks down and is like, all right, the row's free. Let him in. And it was Vince, Shane, John Cena.
Cena's there too, right?
Cena, John Laurinaitis. And I was right in front of Vince.
I was like,
I can't believe I have a better seat than you. Take my seat. And he's like, come on, kid, turn around. Like, leave me alone.
Did you try and talk to him?
I tried talking to him, and he was not having it, you know. And pretty much none of these guys were having it. But Shane was super nice.
Uh-huh.
And Shane gave me his card.
Really?
And told me to call him
at
on Monday.
At the AC/DC show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I called him the next day and said I wanted to book you to host the award show.
Well, I think it was to be a presenter.
Maybe to be, yeah,
it was to be a presenter, and then typical Jericho. I was like, no, I'll host it though. Because I remember,
yes,
I was like,
that was
the host. And you were like, Andrew, I was like, Andrew WK. I'm like, no, I'm way better than him. I want to host it too.
Well, they sent CM Punk in your place. Uh-huh. And then the minute that was over, you know, I rang you guys up again and we got you to host it. Yeah. With Andrew WK.
With Andrew WK. And so that was the first Golden Gods, because it was already in existence. I think Brian Posehn was the first.
Yeah. We did the first year with Posehn and Megadeth headlined.
Right. So first of all, before that, so it's your idea to do this award show. Like you said, if you take this job, we'll give you your idea. Now, what exactly was your idea?
Well, you know, at that time, Revolver, I had been the art director for Revolver, and around 2008, the magazine industry sort of disintegrated, and, you know, Borders as a bookstore closed, all the bookstores were closing, and basically, like the plot of an 80s movie was like, what do we do to save the company, you know, save the rec center?
Let's put on a show,
and we wanted to call it the Heavies, that was the idea at the time, and
the Heavies.
It's so silly, right? Like, yeah. You know, Grammys, the Emmys, yeah, of course. And, you know, at Revolver, we were the number one voice in hard rock and heavy metal, so it made sense for, you know, if we didn't do it, who else would do it? You know, Rip wasn't around anymore, or Circus, and
I always used to think it was R.I.P. magazine. How heavy is that?
Metal.
Yeah, yeah, rest in peace magazine.
So yeah, that's how the concept started. We didn't know what we were doing. I have no award show training.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how do you start it?
You know, I was I played in bands, and I published my own magazine. We were booking shows that way and booking things that way. And we had Fozzy in one of our earlier issues. I think we met at that
Royal
time,
Flush too. Magazine.
Royal Flush Magazine, yeah. Yeah, early on, back when, you know, when you guys were full, you know,
full on regalia, yeah. The original Steel Panther.
Back when when Moongoose was still alive before his gardening accident. I had a little experience in doing that. I started booking bands. I had booked Clutch and Mastodon. And I think my bosses were like, well, if you know how to do that, like, we'll find another art director. And we did the first show, not really knowing what we were doing. Sort of went into it blindly, and no one got killed, and it was.
But let's go back though. How do you do that? So you're at this time, you're not Josh Bernstein that everyone knows. You're just some dude.
Yeah.
Who's the first name you call to try and get this?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay. And did Ozzy agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just on what pretense?
I had a decent relationship with Sharon over the years, and, you know, I was art director, so I do all the photo shoots. So I had met Ozzy and Sharon and before, and, you know, I used to have to draw the covers out of what they would look like. It was, okay, it's going to be Ozzy on a throne with these devil women. And I would literally draw sketches and then send them to Sharon Osbourne, and she'd be like, it looks good, you know.
Right.
More, less nudity, whatever
more
the deal
demons.
Is. More demons. Yeah. So we had a decent relationship. And then, you know, and by the way, you know, obviously there was a team of people there. So
sure.
There was more senior people to myself that had relationships with most of the management companies. I knew most of the people of the labels. I figured my thought was, you get Ozzy, you'll get everybody else.
Well, that's it. Because, you know, that's like show business. Like, well, who else is doing it? Ozzy. And that's what I mean, to even get Ozzy, like, who else is doing it? Well, nobody. We're hoping that you be that guy.
And the dominoes, trust me, they fell very quickly after we said we had Ozzy. And all we did was say, we want Ozzy. All you have to do is show up, and we're going to give you an award. We're going to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award. And we let him choose who he wanted. He wanted Jonathan Davis from Korn to present it.
Really? That's interesting.
Really, obviously that was not what I would have thought would have been a choice. It was a great speech. And, you know, Brian Posehn, as you mentioned, he had just put out a comedy record, and, you know, me and my friends were fans of his. That's what we thought, he would be a good host. You know, everyone in the world was like, it's got to be Jack Black. Jack Black is metal. It's got to be Jack Black. You know, I'm like, yeah, he's also like a biggest star in Hollywood. Not easy at all. But we ended up getting Jack Black. Obviously,
he did come
some years later. So, you know, I grew up watching the MTV Awards and the Oscars and whatnot. So I just literally went back and watched tapes of what I thought was cool. Like, when I was a kid, you know, Neil Young would play with Pearl Jam, or
right.
George Clinton would play with the Chili Peppers.
And they would always mix it up.
And those were the things that stood out to me. Or I'd watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you'd see Bruce with Keith Richards and Chuck Berry.
Yes, the big jam.
Or
yeah.
George Harrison was there. So like that's, I thought that's what you did at those moments. And that's sort of been the thing I've always pushed over the years.
So who did you have playing the first one that Ozzy and Brian were there?
The first year was it was Megadeth, Hatebreed, Killswitch, All That Remains, and the baby band at the time was Suicide Silence. So they were the brand new band that we brought out, and they all went to Men's Warehouse with like matching suits. But we had everybody there that first. You know, we did have Lemmy that first year, and like I said, Ozzy.
It becomes the cool place to be where everyone wants to be involved.
At this point.
And were you doing it at the Nokia Theater?
Yeah, and we were the first show there. They had just opened. They had just opened, and they were doing the revival of Pee Wee's Playhouse. And then we were the first sort of award show there, or taping. Then Chelsea Lately, I think, taped there, and like we were the first red carpet out there ever. We really sort of.
So were you like okay? So and I know, and we can start talking about it when I come in the picture. But there's always ups and downs and weird things that happen and curveballs. Was there any that first year that happened that you remember?
Oh my God! Well, there's a very famous story internally. I don't think the public knows this, but there was a knockdown, drag out fight between Steel Panther, Killswitch, and our editor in chief who quit the next day.
What happened?
We instead of having a orchestra playing, we had Satchel from Steel Panther shredding everybody off and on stage. This was an idea we had at the time. He was sound checking while Killswitch was setting up, and basically their sound checks were overlapping. And they told Satchel to get off the stage, and he said,
Why
don't you get off my stage before I make your mom's mouth pregnant?
And he said that to Killswitch?
He said it to Killswitch's text, and all of a sudden the word got back. And our editor, who I love, shout out to Tom, in his infinite wisdom said, Satchel's more important to this show than you are. And next thing we saw Howard Jones coming down the hallway lifting up bodies and moving. We actually had to lock the editor in a closet.
Wow.
Till he went away.
Now I know Howard. I don't know old Howard. I know new Howard, who's like the funniest, sweetest guy.
Well, I mean, it's funny. Howard and everyone in this scenario has made up and has laughed about the situation since. So, but at the time we had to lock him in a closet. So, I mean, he picked up Kevin Lyman and moved Kevin Lyman out of the way. He was out to kill this guy who said this, you know, like, you're more important.
Wow.
And then it resulted in Adam from Killswitch on stage being in the middle of playing Holy Diver, said, where's all the old guys? F*** you, Ozzy. F*** you, Dio.
Why?
He was drunk out of his mind.
Oh my gosh.
And so he's since been like, I can't believe I did that. Like,
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed. I love those guys.
I hosted the Metal Hammer Awards a couple years ago, and Machine Head was all drunk. Phil and Rob. Phil and Rob. And they came on stage and thought it'd be real rock and roll to smash all the gear that was on the stage. Problem was, it was Anthrax's gear. And so when they noticed that, they're like, yeah. Oh, it's Anthrax gear? We're sorry. Like, you know, that's Anthrax. You don't smash their gear because they're, you know, the legends.
You don't tell
that. It seemed like a good idea at the time until it was like, that's Scott Ian's mic stand and his monitor that he just kicked over under the floor. But yeah, I mean, once again, this is a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of stuff going on because you got a lot of different personalities.
Well, the one thing everyone was stunned at when we did the first year, and we've done every year since, people are, when I meet with people in the TV business or sort of executives, they're like, I can't believe you have a bar. I can't believe you're allowing these people to drink before they get on stage. And I don't know how to, at a rock and roll show, not serve alcohol.
Right.
But it's definitely led to some...
Yeah, some altercations. Yeah. So then the next year is when I come along.
Yes.
And I guess you had already commissioned Andrew WK to be the host.
So yeah, Brian was awesome, and we were so happy with Brian. But you know, he had the next year. We thought he was putting out a new record. He had a band with Scott Ian and Brendan Small.
That's right, yeah.
So we said, hey, why don't you perform with your band, and then I want to get Chris Jericho to host. And our other, at the time, our new editor in chief was like, Andrew WK would be great. And I said, why don't they? We just decided, like, instead of like pulling rank over each other, let's just have them both host. And,
right.
I never worked with him before, and. You know, it was great. We did, well, first we did the skit with you guys at the Rainbow,
which was awesome. That was, I guess the idea was we were trying to find guests for the show. Is that
you
what
were
it was?
Waiters at
the Rainbow.
And you wanted to get off your shit. Vinnie Paul was your boss. and you wanted to basically end your shift early to go to the award show. And he said, you have one more table you have to serve. And that table was filled with a bunch of rock legends.
It was Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine. Lenny.
And Chuck.
Chuck Billy.
And then we went outside and Halford picked us up on his motorcycle or something.
You basically had to do a bunch of tasks, like Indiana Jones.
Wasn't Zach there too?
Oh yeah, so Zach was one of the you had a shred guitar and your fingers were frozen, and then you had to scream loudly and break a glass.
Didn't Mustaine go like you played pentatonic triple D scale on the E minor chord or something like that? Yeah,
like Mustaine was hilarious in that. And then you achieved all the tasks, and then Halford was waiting with two Harley Davidson motorcycles for you to drive off into the sunset
and basically drive onto the stage.
Drive onto the stage, which to this day people think you guys legitimately. I was like, that's just literally a motorcycle sound effect on like this loud system and the speaker
and
system.
And just if anybody thinks that like the scarf thing just started, I remember at that press conference, Lemmy was giving me shit about my scarf. Nice
you
scarf.
Had this. I remember you, and you said, I've never gotten a cold. That was your.
And I remember Lemmy's going.
Everyone's watching your balls on the scarf.
Yeah.
And we almost, if you remember, you know the folks at the Rainbow Mario who just recently passed away.
You can tell the story, and he's gone now.
So he can't hurt me anymore. But at a certain point during that day, they felt that we were done filming.
We had rented out. We had rented out the Rainbow.
And at a certain point, I think happened is an older couple showed up and like. These people are in our booth.
Yeah.
And they were done.
We've been eating lunch here for 20 years in that booth.
And the Mario came over and said, you're done filming. I said, no. He said, listen, I'm going to break fucking cameras. And you and Vinnie Paul and I think some of the Dallas Cowboys dudes were there too. And they're like, hey, what's going on? I was like, hey, it's cool. Because I thought it was going to be like that scene in Bronx Tale where like you're not allowed to leave. And we had to go to the ATM and I had to take out like $1,000 and hand them $1,000 not to like kill us. And after I gave him the money, he took me back through the kitchen and then he's like, what do you drink? We had a scotch. And he's like, well, it was good doing business with you. I'm like, I guess. It was horrible.
So when you have to pay $1,000 to marry at the Rainbow or get your kneecaps broken, is that going to the budget overall that Revolver's giving you to put on the show?
Well, imagine like you don't ask for a receipt after that. So, and I worked for a company. So I had a meet with our CEO of the company after to be like, well, this guy Mario, this other guy Lemmy, you know, here's a napkin with some scribbles on it. I got my money back eventually, but but we had to cover that in the budget.
Talk is Jericho.
So I remember we did the first one and obviously, it's kind of an unruly crowd at times because they're rock fans and they're drinking.
Yep.
Now, you know me, I can handle any unruly crowd because I make a living doing that. Poor Andrew WK did not know how to handle the people catcalling him.
Well, you know, as in your other day job, you're used to people chanting when you're speaking. And that crowd decided to chant camel toe. At him at one moment, and I don't think he. It sucks. He's such a nice guy, but he never recovered from that.
Dirty white jeans. Is that gimmick? Is the white T-shirt? The dirty white
jeans. So tight, and there wasn't.
And they were chanting camel toe, and I remember he didn't know what to do, and just goes like, "And the next award goes to."
He sounded like that kid in The Simpsons, you know, like Mr. Simpson. Like his voice started cracking, and I was like,
"Hey, Mr. Simpson."
He never the next recovered. Award.
Yeah, he never did recover from that. He was shaken.
And I think, and obviously, you know, as some folks know, like you, from that point on, you know, there was it was you only.
Yeah.
And we sort of made a pact, you know, at that point. I was like, you know, as long as I do these award shows, you're the host. You know? And
I remember it was Portnoy said I was the Billy Crystal of the Golden Gods Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He hosted the Oscars like 20 times. And that was my job.
There you go. You never had an Oprah Uma moment, you know?
No, I did. I mean, there was a couple like
you did go. You went heel one year, which was really great. Like you literally were like the year that we tried to do the thing where you went on stage. We're going to do a bit with Alice Cooper.
We'd always do bits to begin the show, like some kind of a skit or some kind of a on stage thing, and we had it all planned out with Alice Cooper.
Well, originally we did a commercial where to preview the show where it looks like a commercial's ending and you say, hey, Alice, that was great. And then he basically asks you to fetch him a Coke.
Right.
And he gives you a dollar and tells you that he wants his change back. And, you know, that was sort of a goof on you. So there was a sort of a reverse goof that you would be like, you know, it's kind of weird being here with all these idols. Like, I'm so excited to see them, but they're pretty much excited to see me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a pretty big star. And then Alice would come out and call you a douchebag. But I guess right as we're about to go on stage, he gets cold feet. He doesn't want to.
Yeah, he decided he didn't want to do it, like, literally 10 minutes before.
Didn't want to do it.
And why did he not want to do it?
I think, you know, honestly, as much as he has the horror spookiness about him, he's a very conservative, you know, religious dude.
Gotcha. And the term douche is...
Maybe douchebag wasn't... He didn't want to do that. I don't know.
Was it a term from the Bible? So, but was he supposed to call me a douchebag? Was that it? Or did I change it to that? Like, I thought there was something where he had his riding crop and he was going to hit me with it or something.
I think it was douchebag because
from what I recall, I'm not saying that you're wrong. From what I recall,
you were acting very douchey.
It was the same thing. I was acting very douchey, and he was going to come up with his riding Alice Cooper riding crop and like whack me off the stage. That doesn't sound great. Alice Cooper was going to whack me off.
Whack me off.
And so that's what I'm remembering. And so when he basically split with 10 minutes before the show,
yeah,
what was your reaction?
We ran to the VIP. I just remember.
You were freaking out, dude.
I was freaking out, yeah.
And I said this. I said, is Zach Wilde here? And you're like, yeah. I said, find me Zach Wilde. We'll make it happen. Because I knew anybody out there, the rapport that Zach and I have, we'll figure something out quickly. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we just had it. Unfortunately, he's like, let me just finish this quick conversation. So 7 hours later.
Zach is a little bit of a talker.
A little bit of a talker.
So, so Zach comes over. And I think – I'm not saying that you didn't just transpose the Alice to the Zach. But in my recollection, that's when I came up with the same thing. Instead of hitting him with the riding crop.
You know what to do.
Just call me a douche.
Right.
You know, I asked him, like, insult me. I think Zach said, I'll just call you a douche. Something along those lines.
Very.
He came out and did that, and it got a great reaction. That was kind of the running gag of the show, that heel Jericho would be getting called douchebag by different people.
Right. By different rock stars.
Which leads to, since we're at this moment, we're hosting the show.
Yeah.
And it goes, man. It's like holding on to the tail of a hurricane. Like, you're all over the place. You got to just keep going. And you came up to me and said, there's somebody just called, or someone's in the parking lot.
Yeah, security guy goes, on the loading Steve Perry is on the loading dock. I'm like, from Journey? He's like, no, from Aerosmith. I'm like, well, Joe Perry? Goes, no, Steve Perry. I'm like, whichever guy it is, bring them up here right now.
Right.
And it was Joe Perry. From Aerosmith.
From Aerosmith, right.
And he shows up, and he's so cool. You know, he's got the Cruella de Vil grace, and he's wearing, like, literally leather gloves, and he's smoking a joint. Like,
but we had to go to the downstairs parking garage.
Yeah, we had
to
go in the back area to find him.
So Deftones are playing, and every band gets, like, 20 minutes to play.
Right, it's like our little break.
Yes, and so you and I, like, I remember you coming to go, it's like, Joe Perry's coming, he wants to be on the show, and we're like, okay, we'll figure something out. So you and I go down to the basement, to the parking garage, knowing that we've got 20 minutes.
Right. We gotta do this. And we're like, would you – so, you know, he came, which many people know, he was a friend of Manson and Johnny Depp's. That's why he was there.
Hence the Hollywood Vampires.
And then later.
Yeah, because that was the year that Johnny Depp was going to play guitar with Marilyn Manson, which was a huge coup, by the way.
That was before that was a thing.
Yeah, right. It's like the first time Depp had played guitar live, like, maybe ever.
And no one, you know, all that night, people were like, is that Johnny Depp? I'm like, dude, it's a guy that looks like Johnny Depp. Just like everyone backstage looks like Nikki Six. It's not really him. till he went on stage, everyone's like, holy moly, that's Johnny Depp. That really is Johnny
And there was
Depp.
No huge announcement. He just was there.
No, he just came out and started playing.
Like a member of the band. You're like, who's that guy with the weird hat? Like, that's Johnny Depp?
It's Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
So we're like, would you go on stage and do a quick thing and introduce something? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and then we're like, would you also call Chris Jericho a douchebag? He's like, yeah, I'll do that.
I can call you a douchebag. I remember there's a great picture of the three of us, and I'm talking to him, kind of explaining.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the side of your head, and I could just see, like, your Jewish worry. Like, oy vey, what are we going to do?
Joe, just come up there and kibitz for a little bit. I just need you to do this thing. Like, he was just, I don't think he even knew where he was.
Yes, he was. Do you remember what he did?
Didn't he, like, he gave, like, a shout out to a weird website, too?
He came on stage, lit sense. Up a joint.
Yeah.
Smoked a joint and then made some kind of a reference to, like, the plight of the Aborigines on the Australian outback or something as ridiculous and as obscure as that. And then goes, yeah, and by the way, Chris Jericho, you're a fucking douche. And then he walked off the stage. But I just remember he lit a joint on stage.
Hey, he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
He's from Aerosmith. You're lucky that's all he did. Yeah. But that I just remember that, like, we had 20 minutes. The clock is ticking for Joe Perry. But there was a lot of stuff like that because, like we said, once the show starts, you really have no recourse. Remember the time with the cat from the West Memphis 3?
Oh, my God. I felt so bad.
That was the same year,
I think it was the same year. Marilyn Manson was taking his sweet time getting on stage, and we got word through the headphones that we, like, could Chris stretch a little? And you must have given, like, a 20-minute speech about Dylan and the West Memphis 3 and metal and being impressed.
We were waiting for Damien.
By the way, you know, I talked to Damien Echols after that, and he was in the dressing room in tears. He was in jail for 20 years, and all he watched in jail was wrestling.
Wow.
So he was like, he couldn't, like, he's like, how does that guy know my name? How does that guy?
Right.
Like, he was blown away. How's he this informative about my case? How is he kept giving him 20 minutes to talk about this?
Well, because we were looking for him because he was supposed to come on next and get his award or whatever.
He was sitting watching.
And he was upstairs with Manson. And we can't find him. Where's Damien Echols? Where's Damien Echols? Where's Damien Echols? So you're like, stretch. And I go on stage and cut, like, this 5-minute promo that would be worthy of, like, Manowar, about how heavy metal brings us all together and the West Memphis 3 were, and then I'm just going and going. I'm like, I'm basically starting, like, a, you know, heavy metal chant. It's heavy metal chant. And it's like, please come save me. And then finally Echols shows up and just super calm. But I was like, where the have you been, man? I don't care if you've been in jail for 20 years. You make killing my gig. But, you know, like you said,
that's sort of the, you know, the live setting. And, like, there's those moments, you know, because most of these, you know, all the talent we book for these shows is it's an email, it's a phone call, you know, and you put a name on a poster. And, like, until you're there, you're like, oh, right. Like, I forgot, like, we invited, like, Freddy Krueger or, like, William Shatner. Like,
how about when Shatner came?
He was awesome.
There was a huge line of every musician in the place waiting to get a picture and hang out with Shatner.
So he was on, there's a local Yankees radio TV show here in New York, and he was on it recently, and something came. He's like, oh, so the interviewer's like, yeah, I heard you do music. He's like, I'm a Golden God Award winner. Like, he actually, like, shouted it out. So,
well, because he had done a record at the time that, like, Zach had played on,
Zach was on,
kind of like his weird spoken word, like Ground Control to Major Tom.
It's I think he did Iron Man, and I think he did Highway Stars.
Weird stuff. And so he showed up to get the what award?
We used to do the which is a cool award. We should bring back honorary headbanger.
Yeah. The honorary. So I remember his publicist was just, like, not happy for whatever reason. Because I think everybody was just hounding him.
He was punished all night with photos.
Like Sebastian Bach and Scott Ian. And I remember shouting, like, my agent isn't really happy that I'm here, but I'm happy to be the headbanger of the award. And go f*** yourselves or something like that. Super into it. Best guy ever. But
he kept on cursing. He's like, I'm happy to be here with all you f***ing headbangers. And I was like, all right.
But that's the thing. Like, once again, when this award starts rolling, award show, you're getting people. Like, I remember when Neil Peart was there.
Oh, my God. That's right. And he doesn't do
public appearances.
Well, it was supposed to be Getty and Alex. And last minute, they canceled. I'm like, fuck. And they're like, well, we're going to send Neil. I'm like, what, are you serious? Like, Neil knowing Peart? That he's the one who doesn't do this stuff.
Right, ever.
And he was... Yeah, we had to do a whole private, like, we had to walk the whole venue earlier that day with this private security to, like, show them all the exit route. Like, it was like Secret Service.
No shit.
Yeah. But
interesting. Was he paranoid about getting?
Yeah, he's got, like, I don't know what the issue is, but he doesn't like people. But that's when we had Jack and Kyle from Tenacious D gave him the award. And he was like, I think they loosened him up.
You know?
And that's the thing about these award shows. And I'll go back to when we were at the Rainbow that night. Remember when we were in the Rainbow, like, upstairs, and, like, it was all of us hanging out waiting for a couple of other people to show up, and, like, Mustaine walked in and everyone got, like, a little hushed, like, oh, it's Dave Mustaine. And then, like, Halford walked in and Mustaine was like, like, he got quiet. Yeah. And then Lemmy walked in and Halford got quiet. So there's always somebody
it's like the Russian doll, the little one and the big one and the big one and the big one. Yeah.
And I think that sort of happens where, like, you could be Scott Ian and, like, you're, like, you know, a rock legend. And then Captain Kirk walks in and you're like, oh, my
Trumps
God.
Trumps us all, yeah.
Exactly. I remember Kerry King, like, being nervous around Robert Englund from Freddy Krueger, you know, Freddy Krueger back. So, like, that's sort of the beauty of those shows, that everyone sort of ego checks each other. I remember there's some big rock. I can't remember who it was. It was a very big rock star, and their kid was a wrestling fan. I remember the whole time it was like, you got to get Chris's autograph for so and so's son. Mm-hmm. And there was, we had a big skateboarder there 1 year too. Same deal. Like, I got to meet that skateboarder. So, I love when those, you know, when someone can make someone else feel 13.
I told the story tonight to hear when Geezer Butler was there. I never met Geezer before, and I went to introduce myself. He said, "Oh, Chris Jericho, I've been watching you on Dancing with the Stars. I even voted for you." And that's when I was hosting that year as the Dancing with the Stars guys. And I was like, I wonder if people will think this isn't heavy enough to be dancing. And I'm like, yeah, if anybody doesn't like it, it's Geezer Butler's
it's
watching.
Geezer approved.
And he voted for me. And then even Alice went on stage. He's like, you know, Chris Jericho, he's doing Dance with the Stars.
That's right.
And he's flying the flag for heavy metal. And what a great thing to do. And support Chris Jericho, because it's like a vote for Chris Jericho is a vote for heavy metal. And I was like, geez, Alice, thank you so much.
And it's true. Like, yeah. You know, people, I never get sometimes the hate to fellow artists, or even like, you know, like a band like Nickelback, you know, like people are like, oh, metal guys, like, screw Nickelback. I'm like, that's like, why don't you say screw pop music or screw,
right.
You know, that they're like, they're maybe not my favorite band or your favorite band, but they're not, they're still,
still rock and roll.
Still rock and roll, still trying.
You know? Going back quickly, just the Johnny Depp thing, I remember I went up, I was talking to, was I talking to Dave? No, I was talking to Slash.
Okay.
And actually, it's funny. The first time I ever met Slash was at a cover shoot for the Golden God Awards.
Oh, right.
Where you did...
Right, it was you and Slash
paired
together.
Two pictures, and you photoshopped them all together. So you had like 10 guys or whatever on there. And my straw that I drew was with Slash. So, you know, photo shoots are kind of awkward anyways. And obviously, like, it's freaking Slash, and I want to talk to him. I was like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? He's like, yeah. And we started laughing at how stupid, that awkward, but yet we never met. And that's how we became friends, was from that photo shoot.
Oh, my God.
And we're really good friends now to this day, and it started there.
Were you also – didn't you go to, like, high school with, like, someone in his band?
With Brent Fitz.
Brent Fitz, that's right.
Yeah, I went to high school, so we had a connection. And Slash had come to a SummerSlam once with his son. So there was a little bit of a I know who you are, you know who I am. So – later on, after the show, Slash was where I was talking. Slash goes, I'm going to go upstairs to Depp's dressing room.
Oh, I don't remember.
You just meet me up there. I'm like, yeah, sure, cool. And I had to do something. So he goes, meet me. So I go up there, and there's a big, giant, like, mountain of a man. And he's like, yes? I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go in. He's like, no, you can't go in there. I'm like, oh, but Slash is in there. Yeah, I understand. And he said I could come in. Yeah, I understand. So I just want to go in there. I understand. But not moving. He just kept saying, I understand, over and over again. I'm like, what do you understand? He's like, I understand that you're not going in there. And he's like, okay.
It's like that scene in Wayne's World. Like, my girlfriend's in there.
That's right.
That guy got me too, because I was like, they were in the room where we had our last of our like dinner rolls. I was starving. And I was like, can I get in there? He's like, same deal. I understand. But no, I'm like, no, I'm the executive producer of the show. He's like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that guy looked like he could like rip my head off and roll down the hallway. So,
but you would get a lot of like, you would meet people for the first time. Like, I remember, I like an idiot made some kind of disparaging remark about Black Veil Brides, because I didn't even know anything about them, just the way they look or something. You know, whatever I said, and I saw Andy Biersack that 1 year when, remember, Andy just went nuts in the crowd.
Oh, it was the best thing ever.
Tell that story.
So, you and I were. You know, obviously at the time, and still now, obviously, there was a lot of pressure. The first year we did the award show, it was the editors picked the winners. And then we got a lot of grief from everybody in the industry. I remember Brian Slagle telling me, like, if it's not fan voted, like, you can't expect anyone in this business to support your show. And obviously, Brian's a guy we, you know, really respect. And
that's a great point.
And I was like, okay, we'll make it a fan voting thing. And literally within a year, like, you know, Black Veil Brides beat Megadeth for best guitarist. So, like, you know, it's like you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
And that year, in particular, Black Veil Brides, who are a great band and great dudes, won Most Dedicated Fans. And you and I are, you know, you and I are sort of hanging out behind the host stage. So if you're looking on TV, we're like behind there sort of giggling and stuff. And Andy
drinking
and doing whatnot. And like they went on stage and the crowd was booing them. And Andy just lost it. He grabbed his crotch and told the entire audience that they were fat and stupid.
Yeah, the fat guy right there. Shut your mouth, fatso. Like,
you should have voted. You're all fat. And
I remember
it
that.
Was.
But that's when I got huge respect for him. Like he was.
You were like, oh my God.
I love this guy.
After you're like, that was so cool. And there's a photo of us with Andy and Ashley Purdy up in the lounge because you beelined it for him after the show. And we're like,
well, and he beelined me too to say, like, listen, what you said about me is like, dude, I apologize. I was wrong about you. And he goes, and I was wrong about you. And that's how me and Andy became friends.
He's great. It's funny.
I love Andy Pearson.
Years later, even when I've done other shows and other award shows, I'm like, you're not going to call the audience fat, right? He's like, oh God, like that haunts him to this day. Cause you know, he's such a nice dude and that's not, but that was great. That show, like that's it's a rock and roll award show, as you said. Like, it's not the Oscars, the Grammys, or the Golden Globes. You should tell people.
I remember what the year I was feuding with CM Punk, he won Most Metal Athlete.
Oh yeah,
Buck Cherry were the presenters, and I didn't even know them really. And I remember,
oh, they were stunned because we
I took
thing.
The award and I threw it on the ground and broke it. And I remember Stevie going, wow, man, that's cold. Like, totally believing that I took the award and threw it on the ground. It's never feeling like, wow, man, that's cold.
We had that plan to, I don't know if we did it, but we were gonna mail CM Punk the parts.
I think we kind of did do that.
We shipped them the chunks of trophy.
But that also happened to, like, the crowd just goes their own way.
Yeah.
You mentioned the NFL guys. What was the name of the band? Like Dead Weight or Free Speech or something?
Free reign. But so, they were like, each guy was like 6'8". Like, they were huge.
And so they're up there and they won like
most metal athlete.
And people are booing them.
Yeah, the Cowboys in LA.
Yeah, they're all Dallas Cowboys guys that started a band and they're in LA and people are booing them. And I remember looking, shut up. Listen to what he has to say. And they're like, boo, boo. They just got booed out of the building. I remember just laughing my ass off just how ridiculous it was for those poor guys.
Yeah, it didn't go well for them. But oh my God, but they, same deal. Vinnie Paul was like, Vinnie Paul was a 2-year-old in front of them because he's from Dallas and those were the Dallas Cowboys. Like he could, you know, he was getting his shirt signed and
yeah.
You know, like, so.
But once again, it's like, I remember when the first year that, or not the first year, but one of the years when you got Lars and Rob to send in a video, either accepting an award or presenting an award.
We got them to, the third year, Avenged Headlines.
Right.
And the Rev had just passed away. This is their first sort of big moment, you know, with that. And we got Lars and Rob to come and introduce them on stage.
But a video.
No, live. They
but
live.
The first, okay, live. But before that.
Yeah, we got a video.
There was a video.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
People were booing.
They're booing the video.
And I was like, you guys need to all shut your mouths. Like, if Lars was here live right now, you'd all be sucking his dick. So pull that shit away right now.
Okay, I do remember
the
that.
The cool thing to boo Lars Ulrich. It's like, you guys are
forgetting. Yeah,
we're going to shut this down right now.
Best album with Lou Reed or something. I'm sure what they won, but like.
Best album with Lou Reed. It was the only nominee.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the first year you go for Ozzy and you get him. So who are you calling over the subsequent years?
Well, you know, like these shows are basically. You know, A, you have to always sort of book and have there what is the big albums of that year, right? Mm-hmm. You're celebrating the best music of those time. But separately also, if you're not calling, you know, Metallica and Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, you know, all the time, you're not sort of not doing your job.
Right.
So I called Metallica. I won't make it sound like I just called Ozzy. I called Metallica day one. I called them for 5 years.
Right off the bat, yeah. But then you're slowly, you get a video. Then you get Lars and Rob to show up.
Lars was, I remember we got footage of him. I basically had Jose Mang and other people backstage. I'm like, ask him what he thinks of the show. Ask him how important this is. Ask him, like, do leading. And then so the minute I had Lars on video saying, this is so cool. I had no idea. Was this awesome? I took the video and then sent it right to Q Prime. I'm like, see? I mean, he's basically committing to the show right here. This is it. And then I know success has a million fathers. There's a million people that were poking them for years. And I had my friend Maria Ferrero, Metal Maria, some folks know. She was working Kurt from one side. I had a different person working James. I had Ross Halfen working. And eventually, as I understand it, someone was in a car with Kirk talking about how Johnny Depp just played this award show. And somebody goes, that's the Revolver show. He goes, whoa, that's cool. I didn't realize that. And I think it was like all those little things that finally like broke the back. And, you know, I imagine Lars is the shot caller there. I eventually found it. Be like, you know what? This is cool. We'll do this. Soon after that Johnny Depp year, I got a call from the publicist, who's a longtime friend. He goes, you got him. I'm like, who? He's like, who you've been asking about for 5 years? I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, can you afford, this amount of money? I'm like, whatever, I'll write you a blank check. And for that final year we did that show, we got, yeah, we got.
But didn't they do it for very little money or for free or
they
something?
They did it for cost.
For just get them there.
Yeah. And then long story short, they never even did it for cost.
Just think about that. They did that. And this is another thing with people like, you know, the blabbermouth commenters bagging on Metallica. They played the Heavy Metal Award show basically for nothing.
Yeah.
Just because they believed in the Heavy Metal Award show.
If you watch the footage of Hetfield that night, he's like, what's up, Revolver? What's up? And even like, he started the set and he goes, we're playing this one for the real fans tonight. And most of the songs were from Kill 'Em All. Like they played
Disposable Heroes.
Disposable Heroes.
They played something with Halford, didn't they?
Played Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire with Rob Halford. Metallica playing Rapid Fire with Rob Halford.
And that happened an hour before the show. They just basically, I got a call from someone at Q Prime. Was like, can you go over to Rob Halford's dressing room and ask him to do this?
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember, Halford had a cane that night.
Yes, he wasn't looking, but he hurt his back.
So I had to like kneel down like that. I'm like, Mr. Halford, quick question. You know, like, Metallica wants to play Rapid Fire with you if you're up to it. You know, I know you're not feeling well. He's like, and he went, oh, laws. Okay. Like, I was tickling him. Like, okay, fine.
I remember Lars came up to me before. He said, so you're king shit around here, huh? This is your fucking show, right? I'm like, well, I'm kind of the host, whatever. He's like, wow, I heard all about you. Like, this is your show. Like, I'm like, this is not my show. And I'm not king shit, but he knew enough to know that I had hosted it. You know, Lars isn't stupid. I'm sure he did research.
Sure he did the research.
You know, everything.
But they were, I mean, That's the top of the mountain. That is the top of the mountain. You know, we had already had Fozzy, so we didn't have to get Fozzy again.
Let's talk about that though. That was really cool too. In that, you had us play, which was great, and we played one of our songs. And then you had us do a medley of kind of like the history of rock and roll.
You know, when you did that, it was right at the time where Jimmy Fallon had started doing those like history of hip hop with Justin Timberlake, and I thought those were so hot, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool if you did that for metal,
right? Which was cool.
And you did some Sabbath.
From the Bell Tolls, we went to Domination, Children of the Grave, There Are No More Tears. I can't remember. There might have been a little Wrathchild in there. We played a medley. Yeah. And what we were doing at the time was we would start out our shows with a ghetto blaster or boombox on a stool. And then a guy would come out and press play. And it was always in England where we'd play like, you know, S Club or Robbie Williams, or these really boy bands.
Yep.
And everyone would be booing. And I'd come out with a baseball bat and I'd smash the boombox.
Right.
And that would start the show. So we decided we wanted to do that for the Golden Gods Awards.
So, yeah, we scored a boombox and I thought literally it'd be me or I'd literally get a security guard or
some roadie
the roadie to bring out
because all you do is just press play and then the sound guy starts
guy makes
whatever
like,
shitty song
and it was a Justin it was Baby by Justin
Baby by Justin Bieber
and this is my and again another like, people probably don't believe these stories but like literally that day we had the original Alice Cooper group reuniting for the show
right
all the original dudes that were at least the ones
still
that were alive and earlier that day I got a phone call from this publicist Steve Martin, not the comedian but Steve Martin of Beastie Boys, Foo Fighters,
he's a wild and crazy publicist.
And he's like, hey, can the Foo Fighters come to the award show? I don't know what band it was. I feel bad, but I ran into the VIP room and just smashed someone's name tag and all their shit off a table and just hand wrote Foo Fighters. My apologies to whatever band didn't have a seat that year.
Right.
But they wanted to come literally as fans. Pat Smear, Craig, the whole guy, all the guys, Taylor. So when Dave, same deal. I said, when Dave Grohl gets here, bring him. Like it's the only night in my life that I could be like, bring him to me.
Yeah.
And Grohl came to me. He's like, what do you want, man? I'm like, will you just go on stage and just press play on this boombox. He's like, dude, I gotta pee. I'm like, just do this thing so quickly. I'll do anything you want. He goes, get me a. He's like, you better have a fucking bottle of Crown Royal waiting for me when I get off stage. And I'm like, all right, perfect. He goes on stage to do it. When he's doing that skit, I ran upstairs. I got in the purple velvet pouch, got him a Crown Royal from there's a secret booze closet there, by the way, and ran backstage and he did that bit and the crowd booed him.
Yeah. Because when he pressed play, Justin Bieber starts.
Yeah.
And they started booing him because he didn't know what he was doing.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. And he just starts laughing. He shakes his head. And then you come out strolling like Alex in Clockwork Orange, with the baseball bat.
Like freaking Negan.
Total Negan move. And treated that boombox like Glenn. Yeah. And it totally worked. It was such a you know, like easy thing to get that crowd on your side in 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
And you guys played the medley, and then I think you played God Pounds His Nails.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was such a cool way to kick off the show to like, hey, not only am I hosting, but like I could, you know, I could hang with these dudes too. Yeah, that was awesome. That was really,
which
really
was
cool.
So cool because Alice Cooper, the guys from Avenged, they'd never seen us play, and we got comments from a lot of people. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, Max Cavalera, it was really good. You guys are good. And he's like, wow, they were actually watching.
All right. You know? Yeah, we did that. You know, Max played with Devil Driver. And I heard your podcast with
Shep.
And Shep was talking about.
He was there that night, unbeknownst to me, because I didn't know Shep at the time.
Yeah.
Years later, when I sat next to him at Clive Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat next to Shep, and I was going to Hawaii, and he gave me his house for the week, and I had him on my podcast. He goes, yeah, I was a big fan of yours. I said, me? He goes, yeah, I saw you host the Golden.
By the way, I like when I went to Hawaii on my honeymoon, I called him, and he just recommended a ramen place. Like, I didn't get to stay at the house. He's like, oh, it's a great ramen place. I'll put your name down.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool to know that he had seen me doing that show.
Yeah.
And became a fan. Like, that's one of the principles of my new book. You never know who's watching.
100%. You know,
which was really cool. And like, I'm just kind of going through a lot of the people that were there, because there's pretty much a who's who. Like, the first time I ever met Gene Simmons was there. And
well, many people don't know this. I read about it in Rolling Stone, but we had Duff McKagan's band play with Corey Taylor, if you remember this.
Loaded, yeah.
And Steve Jones from the Pistols jumped up with them. They went backstage with Slash and Steven Adler, I think, and huddled to discuss what they were going to do, because the Rock Hall inductions were a couple weeks later. So like the discussion of what to do, and Miles Kennedy was there, and they decided Miles would, like, that happened in our dressing room.
In our dressing room, yeah.
And I read about that after, and I was like, this is so cool. Like, we get to sort of be in the fabric of rock history, mm-hmm. a little, you know, and that's so cool. I was, for me, like the night we had Lemmy, Grohl, and Slash play Ace of Spades, like that was, I don't know if you've ever had a cooler collaboration on stage, but like there's people all the time like, oh, I was there this night, I saw this happen. I'm like, that's so cool.
I remember talking to Lemmy, and he had just gotten a pacemaker, and he showed me the scar.
Oh, yeah.
And there's actually a great picture. You can Google it of that night. And he was, he had a glass of wine or something. I was like, I thought you weren't supposed to drink anymore. And he was like, listen, if I can't smoke and I can't drink, what's the point?
Right.
This is what I do. You know what I mean? This is who I am. And I'm going to drink. But I just remember, like, geez, even a pacemaker is not stopping this guy.
No.
But he's like, I would love it, because every year I'd see Alice, I see Lemmy, I see Dave Grohl, and it's like old home week for that show. And then, of course, you never talk to them again for the next year. But I've got so many great pictures of, like, okay, here's Anthrax, Ghost, Phil Anselmo, Corey Taylor, and Jericho. Here's
Jack
Black, Lars, Pat Smear, you know, freaking, you know, Jamie Josta and Jericho, like all these cool.
There's one of like you and Sebastian and Grohl, and like there's Oompa Loompas in the photo too, and I don't even know why they were there.
Like literal Oompa Loompas?
Yeah, there was three shorter people.
So was there? What bands did you go after that you could never get?
Well, it's funny. It's a lot of them, like, were ones. I was always trying to reunite a band. I was always trying to make that happen. So,
did you ever do that? You did Alice's original.
We got the Alice Cooper group to reunite,
right.
And it was so cool. It was our first LA show since they played the Whiskey with Zeppelin opening
in like '69 or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was like, that's the coolest fun
that's
fact
pretty
ever.
Cool too, yeah.
I tried hard. Bands have reunited since. Like, I tried to reunite Soundgarden at the time. We're not active. Faith No More, The Misfits. I tried every year.
Runaways.
The Runaways, I tried hard. That failed hard. I tried Skid Row.
Really?
Yeah. And I actually had Sebastian and Snake. It wasn't those guys. So.
Rachel didn't want to do it.
Rachel Bolan didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's most of the shows, like, these are all the people you mentioned, these are people that were on our bedroom walls growing up.
Right.
You know, that we idolized. And so we pretty much got everyone, but, like, you know, we had Halford, but we never had, like, Priest played. I always wanted Van Halen and David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
And of course, or bands like Pantera that, for obvious reasons, couldn't couldn't happen.
I remember when we did our show, Janie Van Halen was going to do some kind of, she had a troupe that did the silk.
She does, I don't recall, it's like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, like hanging, the dancing on the silk, from the suspension dancing. We were going to do something with them and that didn't work out. But
it was cool. For 2 years I got Eddie Van Halen Christmas cards because of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one time I called her and I heard her, like, he was talking in the background. I'm like, she's like, Ed, I'm on the phone. I'm like, let Ed talk. It's Ed.
And maybe you don't talk so much and just let Ed talk.
You put him on?
But you never got Van Halen there?
No, I got Michael Anthony there once, and then of course, obviously with the Loudwire show coming up, we'll have Mr. Hagar there. So I've had Wolfie there. I can't remember, but we've had elements of Van Halen.
But so the two big ones that to me would be hard to get would be AC/DC and Iron Maiden.
Those are the two, and. For Loudwire this year, I knocked really hard on both those doors, really, really hard. And Iron Maiden, actually, because they were touring, there was actually some windows of time. Yeah.
I figured as soon as Metallica did it, that Maiden would go, okay, we want to do it.
Well, that was the thought after Metallica played that show, was like, who will say no to us now?
Right.
You know, and, unfortunately, I left the show after that and created another show for a little bit, so.
Well, basically, we got fired.
Yes.
You and me got fired. They threw us out there. You don't have to say it, but I will. They fired you and I, who were the backbone of the show, in writing it with smart glasses, wrangling during the show and attracting people to the show because we have relationships with all these guys. And I could go get Zach to come help us out if we needed him or whatever it may be. And the show went down the tubes, man. You know, and that bothered me because we really built something. And I say we because I think we were a pretty good team in doing that. Like, it really bothered me that happened. But just quickly, when you're talking about AC/DC, who do you even contact?
So that's a good question. Like, as I understand it, like, they will, you know, they have to be on tour. They already have to be sort of in cycle because Malcolm and Angus, you know, I don't know if they still do, but like, they need to smoke cigarettes, I think, every waking moment of their lives. And when they're touring like that, it's got to be in cycle. So I actually reached out when I realized it was a problem. I was at a weird, I don't know if you know this, I'm on the heavy metal committee for the Grammys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I've been doing that for a couple of years. And I went to a Grammy dinner and I met a publicist who is AC/DC's publicist. He also does Adele and a bunch of other much bigger stars. But I kind of cornered him, like, you know, I've always been trying to get AC/DC. Once I saw Brian Johnson jump on stage a couple months ago, I tried to book him with, for this show, either with Anthrax or Hailstorm.
No Dice?
No, the timing didn't work out. Oh. But I am such a fan. I've seen it. If you want me to name my top five concerts, three of them are going to be AC/DC. So good. You just sort of want to check them all off the bucket list, I just never, especially now that I've never gotten them, I want them even more.
Right. How about Kiss? You ever approach them?
No, we've had, I offered to have give Kiss. I don't know if I told you the story. We were in Gene Simmons, ended up in Gene Simmons's house in his Kiss room. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I'd produce this award show. I'd love to, you know, give Kiss a Lifetime Achievement Award. He goes, how about you give Gene Simmons an award? I was like, well, I'll give it to the whole band. He goes, young man, I don't share. You'll give it to me. And I was like, it's the Gene Simmons Award. So we gave him the Golden God that year.
That's right. Yeah. That's the year when he said, I meant to meet him. And he's like, oh, I used to guys like you in prison. I said, not if I first. And he's a good one.
I thought it was very, he said something very funny to me that you'll appreciate. And he took me aside once. He goes, you know, I like you. You dress British, but I know you're Yiddish. I was like, I'll take it.
So after the years of the dark years where the award show limped along for a bit and then just disappeared, here we are now.
They only did one more after us, and then it tanked hard. And it sucks because, we still had friends that worked on it, but I went on to create some other award shows, got to work with, Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy and 21 Pilots in that world. I tried to always cram as much metal into their palettes I could, and then the drums were always blast beating for me to come back here. You and I both always had friends here at Loudwire.
I remember we went and pitched this years ago, right after the Golden Gods. We got sacked.
They had actually, I don't know if you noticed, they had approached me when I still worked at Revolver to come work for them, and I was like, I'm already doing this. Why would I jump ship now?
Right.
And when I got the job offer, I kind of kept it secret for a while. But once the paperwork was signed, I think you were my first call. I said, dude, like, we want to put the band back together.
And I was like, say no more.
Yeah.
It was instantly, you know, it was like one word thing. So now it's going to be huge. Once again, I mean, yep. just added Avenged Sevenfold.
Yep.
I mean, the list is from, you know, Mustaine and Halford and Hagar and Tony Iommi and all the bands that are playing, Anthrax, et cetera, Hailstorm. Was it easy to get everybody back in again, or were they not trusting because it was?
Well, it's
a new
funny.
Vibe?
Like I went to LA. I went to the Grammys in February. I went on a Sunday to the Grammys, and then I was going to spend the week taking all my first meetings. And I'm sitting in the Grammys, being like, "Oh, when Metallica comes out, they're going to show what time it is. Metallica's going to destroy this place." And when it didn't happen, I sank in my seat. But then. That whole week, my meetings were very easy. Everyone's like, thank God. You know,
oh, because with Metallica, Gaga, where James's guitar wasn't on or the vocals weren't on.
Megadeth got shafted in the pre-thing. And then
they played Master of Puppets when Megadeth walked to the stage.
It's like a thousand problems. So all it did was just more put a spotlight on that this industry needs a night of its own. So everyone, you know, thankfully, I think I have a pretty good reputation in the business. People still, for some reason, like me. They like you.
That's why they like you, because
yeah,
they like me.
They like me. I'm in the reflective glow of Jericho. everyone's, you know, so many people were like sort of almost waiting years for this to sort of happen, especially also bring the show back to Los Angeles.
Right, because it was in New York or something.
Yeah, they did a show in New York and bring it back home where really that culture lives and thrives. There's nothing like the Rainbow in Sheboygan, you know. That's where that stuff lives. So pretty great. And we have you know, sort of a wish list of bands that are coming. Like I said, Avenged Sevenfold headlining. And you know, like I said,
you called them originally, but they were a little bit tentative because they didn't know if this was the real deal type thing. Is this just going to be a one and done, or is this the start of a new thing?
Right. They were, you know, well, to their credit, they don't do anything that Metallica wouldn't do.
And, that Metallica wouldn't do.
Right. They're like, well, and now that Metallica did that show, you know, I can kind of be like, well, Metallica did it. And also, like, what other, you know, that's the stage is easily one of the biggest records of the year. How could you have an award show and not honor that record or nominate that record? And those guys put a lot of work into it. So, no, I mean, and there are, you know, we got most of the people on our wish list. And I think the coolest part of the show is we got Tony Iommi to allow us to cast his hand as the official trophy and, you know, put the devil horns.
That's cool.
In plaster. So everyone who gets a trophy, you actually gets like a kind of a piece of Tony.
And he was signed up early on. So he was like the first big name that you had aboard.
I couldn't believe it. He was a guy. He's another guy that I'd never.
Yeah.
I've done photo shoots with him and whatnot, but I've never gotten, he's never been to any of our shows or anything we've worked on. So, and I've recently become friendly with Sammy Hagar and working with him and realized how much amazing charity work he does and humanitarian work. So, and Halford, you know, people say don't meet your heroes. They never met Rob Halford or Alice Cooper, right? Like,
yeah, great.
You want 1,000 dudes like that.
Yeah.
Those guys are like cool uncles. I don't know how to describe them, like, but.
That still fly the flag. And once again, when those guys show up, everyone follows suit.
Every year we do the award show, I always lie about the call time for Alice. So he would meet me at a restaurant first. We'd always get brunch just because I want to ask him about, like, Groucho Marx and Salvador Dali and like ask all the questions that I'm not going to get to ask
right,
when the show happens.
At the show, yeah.
So yeah, it's cool.
As we wind down, two questions. You mentioned AC/DC.
Yeah.
Who's the number one band that you want to get besides AC/DC?
Sure. It's going to be Metallica every year. I think I'm not saying this to put pressure on them, but like, you know, at a certain point, like, I think if Dimebag was alive, like, I think he wouldn't want to stand. I think there would have been a reunion if he was alive. You know, I firmly believe that. I'm friendly with all those.
Yeah, I agree.
With Phil, Rex, and Vinny and Rita. We will have Rex, Vinny, and Rita all at the show. So I think
if Phil's there, Vinny doesn't come.
Yeah, it's a little complicated, and we don't. You know, we never want to take sides. We love them all. But I think one day, for the fans, a Pantera show. I mean, that's
who's on guitar.
I think it's Father Zach.
Yeah,
it's got to be Zach. You know,
just from a technical standpoint, from a personal standpoint,
he's such a good friend to him.
That's what I mean.
Brother, and
there's a connection there. Yeah. It's like Stevie Young being in AC/DC. There's a connection.
It's perfect. Oh, Wolfie. You
know, yeah, that's right. Exactly. You know. Exactly. Who? And last question: who is your favorite performance that you saw?
Oh wow!
Throughout the years of the Golden Gods,
there's so many. I think, like I said earlier, when we got Slash and Grohl and Lemmy to play Ace of Spades together, I don't think it ever got cooler than that. Mm-hmm. And I totally lied to each guy. I totally told each guy that the other two guys had already said yes. And, you know, at the time it was such a, because it basically required Dave Grohl to just jump on a drum kit, which I don't know how you'd ask one of the world's greatest drummers not to like bring in your own drum kit.
Right.
He was such a, he's such a down to earth dude.
He's such a punk dude, man. Yeah, he can play any kit. Yeah.
People are like, you can't ask him to do that. He didn't give a shit.
Right.
So that's a highlight. Metallica. There's a great photo of me, you and Pat sitting in the balcony with it's like a private show we have.
We always, that was for soundcheck. And yeah. I always watch from the side stage, there's some amps there, and yep. every headline, you always, if you had X-ray eyes, would see me crouching
yep.
behind that. And to see Metallica, the Avenged thing, I remember the Halford Metallica one. The one to me was seeing Manson live for the first time. He's not my bag,
yep.
but to see him, and it's like, I get it. Like the magnetic personality that he had was awesome. Until one moment, he went on the floor and rolled around. His shirt came up and his white fat belly hung out. And I was like, oh, he's just a skinny fat guy. He went from the most evil magnetic guy to, oh, he's a skinny fat guy.
Oh, what is that? One of those Hanes underwear? Like, yeah, he took you out of the game. No, that was when he played Beautiful People with Johnny Depp. Yeah. Because at that point, like, they played Sweet Dreams. He's like, you guys know my friend Johnny Depp? And yeah. people are like, wait, what? And he's like, I said Johnny Depp. And they did Beautiful People. The cameras on TV, like all the footage shakes. Yeah. There's a whole venue was rocking. Yeah,
and that got huge coverage from mainstream.
Oh, I think I got my sister called me because I got quoted like in People magazine. She was like a dentist's office. I was dentist's office famous.
Well, like I said, man, I'm glad that we're back, and who knows what's going to happen this year, but a long future for the Loudwire Awards. Are we calling it, what are we calling it?
I've been calling it the Loudies.
A Loudie? Fair, yeah.
And the trophy is the Hand of Doom.
Nice.
But yeah, like go to loudwireawards.com for all information. The show's going to air live on Access TV and stream live. I don't know if you know this, through WWE's Facebook page.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's great.
So globally, you know, to 50 million fans all around the world. And
are you still doing the Metal Athlete of the Year?
We are not.
There's only five of them anyway. So
we gave the last one to Triple H.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think he still has it. Yeah, still has the trophy.
I'm sure he does.
Well, the good thing we're doing with this show is we're doing as many hard rock awards as we are metal. You know, the Grammys, they sort of lump everything together. Yeah, yeah, so we want to make sure that
there is a difference.
You know, the Hailstorms and the Stone Sours don't have to compete with your Pig Destroyers and your goat whores of the world.
Anal cunts.
Anal cunt needs its own
needs award. Its own show.
They're tired of being snubbed by Chevelle.
Junie, it's great talking to you, man.
Chris.
Junie always, Cash.
Always a pleasure, sir.
All right, dude, let's rock it.
And now, Reflections with Raven.
A lot of people get married for the wrong reasons. I got married for the right ones. I was out of groceries. My wife, we're together all the time, but I still miss her. Her reflexes are incredible.
For more Reflections with Raven, listen to The Raven Effect on the Jericho Network via the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts.
Raven's going to be bringing his comedy to the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. $150 holds your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. We're setting sail next October 27th, 2018. That's over a year away, people. So book your spot now. Some cabin sections are already selling out. The Deck 8 balcony cabin's gone. But if you book by January 15th, you will get to meet me and take a picture of me with the actual list, okay? And if you're one of the first 400 cabins booked, you get to take part in exclusive Q&A with me, Chris Jericho. But you'll also be hanging out and meeting all of these incredible guests. Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, they'll be hosting. Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Lance Storm, Cyrus, Conan, Disco Inferno, Shane Helms, Beyond the Darkness will be there. Raven will be there. Brad Williams, you heard him on Wednesday's Talk is Jericho. Hilarious guy. Ron Funches. Jim Brewer is going to be doing comedy and playing with Jim Brewer's Loud and Rowdy, along with Fozzy, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, King, The Dives, The Dave Spivak Project, The Cherry Bombs, The Darlings of Rock and Roll, Shoot to Thrill, the world's best female AC/DC cover band, Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band, Busted Open's going to be there for Busted Open Radio, and of course, Ring of Honor is presenting the Sea of Honor tournament. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean on a specially constructed wrestling ring that will not fall off the side of the boat. And remember this, the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship shot in the future. This is the real deal. We're going to start start announcing the Ring of Honor lineup on November 1st, and I promise you it's going to be stacked. We're kicking it off with two of the biggest in the world today. Trust me, it's going to be huge. So go check out ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Book your cabin now, and let's rock. Thanks for doing that, and thank you to all the Killer Talk is Jericho sponsors and all of you for supporting them. WWE 2K18, buy it now at WWE.2K.com, DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com to take advantage of the exclusive offer for Talk is Jericho listeners, and Geico, save money on your car insurance. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next and coming up this Wednesday. Okay, he's a controversial guy right now, in the middle of a lot of controversy. We recorded this a couple months ago, but it's still the always hilarious, entertaining Jim Cornette. Talk about the real mouth of the South. He's going to be here spinning some tales of our time in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the night I broke my arm and wrestled anyways, all the stuff that happened with me and Jim, and an update on what he's been up to, along with all the controversy, I'm sure. But Jim Cornette will be here, so we'll see you then. In the meantime, and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy!